you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, November 20th, 2 days till Thanksgiving. Giving thanks for you, giving thanks for all of you tuned in today, giving thanks for you, Marianne.
Thank you. And thanks for you too, Mark.
Oh, I appreciate that, and can't wait for Thursday to have another turkey dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Had one on Sunday at the Community Evangelical Church.
Oh, yeah, you said that,
that yesterday. But get to have it again at Jim and Nancy Miller's home, and get to see Paul and Peter and other family members.
Paul and Peter.
Yep, they're the sons of
the
Millers, so
they've
been on a trip to Israel with me, have volunteered with the radio ministry in the past,
have
sang with the Singing Men, so it's always kind of like a family reunion. I mean, for them it is.
Well, it is a family
I'm
reunion.
I'm included in that family.
Kind of like a family.
So it's great to see all them.
That's great.
Now the grandchildren.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, Paul and Britta have 2 or 3 children now.
Ooh.
I can't even keep track of that.
Well, you can tell us all about it on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, a lot of things going on. You know Max Norman. Do you remember
Max
Norman?
Well, I do. I did an article about Max in the Primal Life Times before we ever got it.
Well, thank you, God. I followed up on, you know, when you have an inkling or a... What's it? Not an intuition.
A leading. Yeah.
And I think it was a leading of the Lord. But Max and I used to spend hours together at the radio tower. Oh, yeah. Well, because of scheduling, and I make less frequent trips out to the Fisher Tower where I do some production work and some scheduling of music and such. So it's usually just once a week, but sometimes I can remotely do it, so it's fewer times a month now. And the other day I thought, you know, I got to stop by and say hi to Max and Esther. And so I call him up and I say, hey, Max, what are you doing? And, you know, anyways, he said, yeah, come on over. So I go and talk to Karen, and that was a lengthy conversation. And then I wanted to get to the Caseys. So this was, what, last Thursday or Friday?
Oh, right. You got the paper at the
so
Fisher Caseys.
I put them in Thursday night, but put the signage up on the little rack on Friday. And so I get done with that, and I start thinking, I'm going to go with the Caseys and Muhammad and get maybe that all set up and stuff. So I get halfway towards and into Muhammad. I'm like, oh, shoot, I was going to go see Max and Esther.
So you turn back around?
Well, and it was one of those defining moments, like, gosh, I'm all the way this way. And, you know, but I followed up on the intentions. It's like, no, turn around, drive all the way back. And so I called him. I said, hey, Max, I'm halfway to Muhammad, but I'm on the way there. I'll be there in about 10 minutes, and all to say that it was so well worth it. For the next hour or two, as I sat in a little rocking chair, and
we just
talked and shared, and Max, he was vintage Max. Every time I'd see him at the tower, he'd have a book or two with him.
Yep, he did
you
when I was
gotta
there.
Gotta understand this concept, this face-to-face with God. You know, growing up for many years, I knew God was up there and I was down here, but now I see it's a relationship where we can face each other because it's intimate and warm. And so he's laying and he says, look at this. And then he's reading. He's 93.
Amazing.
Esther's 94.
Wow.
And they're both sharp and talkative and with it. And so we just talked, and I updated them on a number of things.
Oh,
and
nice.
I think they're coming up on their 73rd, 74th, 76th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they met like in junior high or even before that, grade school.
They didn't get married junior high. Let's get that clear here.
But I don't know exactly how shortly after.
Yeah.
But if you're 94, you've been married.
I mean, like in their 20s.
Yeah.
Early 20s.
So it's 70-something. It could be 76, but it could be 73. It's somewhere in there.
He's very inspiring, I found.
They both were.
Oh, she is too,
and just about their marriage, I said, you know, what you two have modeled. And Max knew this, and we always kidded about it, but I don't know if Esther had known. But many times I'd say, come on, Max, let's just go out to lunch, or let's go to the Fisher Garden restaurant, or, hey, I'll meet you for lunch. He goes, nope, I'm going home to my bride.
Oh, my goodness.
And I marveled at that. All these these years, I mean, 70 years removed, even when he was in his 90s, I mean, early 90s, he's like, come on, let's go out. No, no, I got to go home, and I'm going to have lunch with Esther. And I just thought that was always so wonderful.
It is.
Max, if you're tuned in, Esther, if you're tuned in, hey, it was great spending time with you, and hopefully there'll be more regularity in the future. And he was energized, too, because we always would talk about a favorite passage or some kind of biblical topic, and this time it was, he has the series, two of the books are like face-to-face, such-and-such, intimacy with God, by somebody, Boa, and great author. I got one other book because I saw him read, and I said, hey, that looks fascinating, and so I went online and got it anyway. Yeah, so that was a delight. Let's see, Christmas tree going up here at Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
They started that, I think, on Monday, maybe over the weekend, but
probably
he had the skeleton together, and so it's in the process of being completed. Yeah. And I think he used the same line on you as he did on me.
Put star on
you
top.
You want to put the star on top? And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be a good
I told him I have a slight fear of heights, so I don't know.
Yeah, this tree is mammoth. I don't know what.
Oh, it's huge.
20, 30 feet up into the sky. It's here at Lincoln Square, and a lot of people like to come here and get photos in front of it.
Yeah, they do.
We'll see. I've noticed over the past few years I've been here that some of those ornaments get busted as they're taking it down and carting it into the back room and then moving it from this area to this area to this area.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be a few ornaments short this year. I have noticed a number broken in the back rooms and such. So. And one other thing, before we get into your reading, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, and we'll be turning to chapter 25 on languages, titled Languages. But this is something that came in an email yesterday from my wife, Holly. She's in Baton Rouge with Esther, and I'm going to share this again.
Maybe we should just cut for a moment
and
see what you're about to say.
Yeah, I should maybe talk to you about it. Nobody knows about this yet except Holly and I.
Okay.
But I could see the potential, and I could see it being launched, and so I'm going to ask for your prayers.
Wow, we're doing it again.
This is kind of significant, too, but I think... Well, we'll have to see.
We don't know what it is yet.
Well, here's what it is. And I had some smiley face replies to Holly and such. But I think in light of just how gifted this individual is, I think it could be pulled together. But here's what it is. Holly suggested, what about the Singing Sisters of Great News Radio? And Tina, who helps lead the children's choir, who's gifted in voice and gifted in directing choirs, I think is all for it. And Holly said she already has like 15 or 20 Chinese women that are very interested. And so I'm asking for your prayers. I guess it's kind of like the Singing Women of Great News Radio, but Holly likes the idea of the Singing Sisters, the sisterhood.
It's kind of like and, Sister Act.
Yeah, that's true. And I do like the fact that we would start off, especially if a number of other women would join, with 15 or 20 Chinese, we'd have diversity or some diversity begun or in place already. And if we could continue to expand on that diversity and have other women join in. But I'm thinking I would like to have an American director, too, to co-direct, because Tina has pretty good English skills, but I think, like with the children's choir, it'd be nice to have maybe another woman that's really interested in being a part of it. So
what a fun idea.
So, yeah, I don't know when their first concert would be, but it could be something. And with having already one director in place that I know is gifted and is wonderful, and to already see some diversity that would be ready-made if you have 10 or 15 or 20 Asian women involved, I thought, wow, wouldn't that be neat? Now if we can get some African-American women and some Hispanic and all sorts, then it would be representative of God's kingdom. And that's what we want this radio ministry, this ministry to be about, is the diversity that God has uniquely put together.
Yeah.
In fact, Jason and I talked about this on a program or two ago. So I don't know, the Singing Sisters of Great News Radio? Yeah, I couldn't see it. So ladies, men, pray this up. We'll see if God provides and opens up the avenue. It seems like there could be already a woman director, but I think it'd be nice and wise to maybe have at least one or two more, and then Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. The children's choir, we're already five rehearsals in, and they're ready for their December 8th production with the Singing Men of GNN in Danville, and then December 22nd with the Singing Men at Marketplace Mall. Wait till you get treated to their singing, their little voices and their sweet harmonies. And
I heard they're
actually
getting
quite
working.
Good. Yeah. Thursday nights, they're working really hard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
We singing don't even quite
sisters,
know what it is, but you heard it here first.
Women, do you want to be a part of the Singing Sisters?
That's great. You're announcing it's not even happening.
So we'll see.
We're getting there.
But
I think
God could be in it, and I would pray that he'll validate that, make it really clear. It's definitely a good idea, whether it's a God idea and a great idea. I'll wait for the pieces to fall into place. But you heard it first here. Be praying about it, and we'll see if God does raise up the Singing Sisters of Great News Radio. So I would have never come up with that name, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And Holly's vision is it's the sisterhood, I think.
Yeah.
And then I like the idea that various Americans can now rub shoulders with their Asian sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I just always think that's important to learn other cultures and to get to know other people. And what a great way to worship together. And I think it'll be a real blessing to these Asian sisters to have American friends and to learn from the Americans.
Mm.
And so
it could be really good.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about languages today.
It kind of fits.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
It does kind of fit.
Memories of an African Son, Marianne Simpkins. My Monday and Wednesday.
No.
My Monday, Tuesday co-host. Wow. Anyways, I got a lot of words. My brain is working on overdrive. As I told you, so much got done this past weekend and then Monday.
Yeah, you were really pumping it out.
Yeah, this is a high-octane day again.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it away, Marianne.
All right. Chapter 25, Languages. Language is universal. Astronomers say that even the faraway quasars, the most distant and brightest spaces in the universe, are sending out electromagnetic signals.
Hmm.
Language, in all of its thousands of various forms, is communication. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Day after day they pour forth speech. Psalm 19:1. Once again, the language of the Bible embodies sound, scientific principle. It's too bad we ever relegated it to fanciful allegory. In addition to the heavens, the entire earth also reverberates and resonates with the sounds of communication. Elephants communicate with each other often, and many of the sounds they make are too low for the human ear to hear.
Hmm.
They can communicate with lost family members many miles away who are greeted with great emotion when found. They can also startlingly differentiate between human languages. Renowned for their long and accurate memory, elephants use many gestures and sounds every day to communicate on an assortment of subjects and can remember individual people and their actions toward the elephant community for decades. Crows, extraordinarily intelligent creatures, also have an enormous range of vocalization. Due to its complexity, research efforts to understand the breadth of the language of crows have been slow. Communication between dolphins is also extensive and complex. Researchers believe that dolphins communicate emotional states as well as factual information to each other.
And they seem to have a lot of fun doing it.
They do. They always look like they're smiling, don't they? Communication drives our lives on a staggering array of levels. Even our cells and nerves send signals to one another. It's how we think. Whether talking with ourselves on an internal level through our thought life or with our fellow humans by audible words, we are driven to communicate. From the Latin word communicare, meaning to share, we constantly share information. Intelligence professionals watch for the tiniest cues of hand and face movements to communicate to them whether someone is telling the truth or not.
Hmm.
We also communicate volumes of information to others, whether intentionally or unintentionally, by how we spend our money and how we use our time. We immediately communicate to others how we view them by how we treat them. The Apostle Paul said that angels have a language. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, he wrote, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Again, this part of the Bible is also so often dismissed as poetry. But I think Paul knew what he was talking about. Angels can communicate with one another and with us. My first interest in a language other than my own was sparked only days after arriving in Zimbabwe. I was told that when I was communicating in Shona, the answer to the morning greeting of, "Good morning, how are you?" was, "I'm fine if you're fine," or, "I slept well if you slept well." Later, that simple greeting became symbolic to me of the tribal and community orientation of the people. Words change us. They shape who we become. It would greatly impact one's concept of the world to greet friends each day with a word of community. "I'm fine if you're fine," instead of "I'm fine, thanks." Every language on earth carries in it a seed, a piece of knowledge that the other languages do not express as succinctly or as completely. Think of the many descriptions for snow found in the Inuit or other native Eskimo languages, or the words used in ancient Greek to describe the various kinds of human love. Language also carries reflections of culture. There are words in Chinese with no real English equivalent, only long phrases of explanatory meaning that even then nearly miss the mark. Individuals who communicate only in sign language are often adamant that those who can hear cannot fully understand their language. It takes nearly a paragraph of explanation in English to approximate the translation of a loved and commonly used Dutch word having to do with warm togetherness and friendliness. Some German words are hard to translate to their full meaning in any language. English, a difficult language to learn by many standards, is filled with idioms that are used almost without awareness by native English speakers. Each language seems to carry some nuance, some understanding that the others do not. So many times I've had the meaning of a word from another language explained to me over and over before the light finally came on. Each time it was exhilarating to realize an entire concept could be encapsulated by one single word, even if not a word from my language. It was as though I'd been searching for that word somehow all along. All languages seem a part of some greater whole, some greater understanding that we find ourselves yearning for. I had a friend in Zimbabwe, a charming and lively young African girl. She had such a great smile. She spoke only a smattering of English, and I spoke extremely little Shona at that juncture. But we were so drawn to one another. We sat together on a rock ledge, pointing and laughing, talking, or at least it seemed so at the time. As we would wander about holding hands, we were also communicating, even if we realistically couldn't have done much talking, at least not in the same language. Communication has more to do with desire and feeling than with words alone. The two of us sat high up on the side of a hill one hot day, watching the proceedings of a baptism in the river below as my father waded out into the waters and people gathered on the river bank. The late afternoon sun was glancing off the blue waters of the river. We weren't paying the best of attention, too busy communicating, laughing, looking into each other's eyes and seeing what the other thought about what we were pointing and laughing at. The memory brings a tear to my eye of joy. but also of wistfulness. The language barrier is real. One has to want to get across it. One has to put in the time and the work to fully cross it. Much later, when I was in Ghana, there were so many languages, dialects, and subdialects. At the other end of the road we lived on, people spoke a different tribal language. It made it difficult for us at first, though my father immediately set about learning the two major languages in our area so he could communicate. Sometimes I have a similar feeling today in my own culture to the feelings I had on that street long ago in Ghana. Yes, there are a number of different languages being spoken around me, but that's not it. I'm referring to the fact that even when I'm among people who are speaking my own native tongue, it's as though we're still speaking different languages. But we're not. We are simply talking at cross purposes, meaning something different, though we use the very same words. I long for clarity. I long for straightforwardness, for honest speech. Or maybe it has more to do with the listening, with the heart connections, with honoring others for what they are trying to get across without pouncing on them. Like my little friend and I. You have to want to hear, and you have to want to understand. God, let me listen in the way you would have me to. Let me listen as your creation speaks and praises you, even though I do not always know what it is saying. Let me listen as your people try to communicate. Let me listen with my heart. And let me listen to you, to your word, to your Holy Spirit, to you. Show me how, Father. Show me how to listen.
I think of that James passage. I think it's everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Yeah, that's a good scripture.
Gosh, a great chapter. SRN News won't wait. Okay. Oh, shoot, we could say so much more about this. I love it. Gosh, I'm thinking about the elephants.
Something. I'll have to tell you real quick. At that baptism, we were on the river and all this stuff, you know. We also had someone positioned with a gun far out to get the crocodiles if they came.
Oh, you know, that was the other thing I was thinking of there. Oh, wow.
There's a lot of stories around that.
Wow. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.